Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ages Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the Age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today, we have two articles from the December 2020 issue of Share International magazine on the theme of Maitreya's priorities. And that will be followed by an article from Benjamin Krem's master. The first article is titled, Half of Americans Endorse Maitreya's Top Priorities. And this is by Cher Gilmore. The Yale Program on Climate Change Communication, YPCCC and for short, does regular national polling on public perceptions, attitudes and beliefs about questions related to climate change. It found in a 2014 survey that individuals' attitudes are shaped by personal and social factors beyond knowledge of climate change alone. One such factor is cultural worldviews, or values regarding how society should be structured and the role of government in addressing problems. YPCCC has identified two significant types of cultural worldview, egalitarianism and individualism. People with a more egalitarian worldview tend to believe that society should promote equality, social justice, participatory democracy and diversity, and they are generally more concerned about environmental issues like climate change.
However, people with a more individualistic worldview are more likely to believe that society should promote individual liberty, autonomy and opportunity. They tend to be less concerned about environmental dangers and favour greater freedom for industry, often opposing government intervention in environmental regulations. These two worldviews, reports YPCCC Director Anthony Leisowitz, roughly characterize the Democratic and Republican parties in the US. Democrats tend to be more egalitarian, and Republicans tend to be more individualistic. From the Ageless Wisdom viewpoint, the individualistic worldview is more aligned with the outgoing Piscean energies, while the egalitarian worldview is more aligned with the incoming energies of the Aquarian age.
As might be expected with the increasing Aquarian influence over time, liberal Democrats holding the egalitarian worldview have become more egalitarian and less individualistic since 2008, whereas Republicans have remained highly individualistic. Public responses to two questions are particularly interesting in relation to Maitreya's priorities, even the fact that the questions were asked at all. First, Liberal Democrats increasingly say all basic needs, food, housing, healthcare, education, should ideally be guaranteed by the government for everyone.
In 2020, about half of registered voters polled, that's 47%, and they agreed with this statement. From 2008 to 2020, Liberal Democrats' support for the statement increased significantly, while support for the statement decreased among Republicans. On the second question, Democrats increasingly say the world would be more peaceful if wealth were divided more equally among nations. In 2020, nearly half of registered voters polled. Similarly, support for this view among Democrats increased significantly from 2008 to 2020 and either decreased or remained stable among Republicans. The takeaway from the polling is that views are polarized, but even without Maitreya's public appeal, many intelligent people are clearly already thinking about the lines he recommends.
Extrapolating from the findings, about half of the people in the US would likely now be supportive of Maitreya's two top economic/social priorities. No doubt support would be even greater in other, less privileged countries. And with his expected public appearance and the explanation of our current crises, the polarization on these questions is likely to decrease. Other polls from the YPCCC have also shown that a strong majority of Americans want the environment to be addressed as a top priority by governments. And the source for that article was climatecommunication.yale.edu.
Now, we have another article, and this is along the same lines regarding priorities. And this article is by Julia Conley. Climate action campaigners applauded after 47 faith institutions from 21 countries announced on 16th November 2020 that they would divest from fossil fuels, marking the largest ever joint divestment by religious leaders in history. Bill McKibben, co-founder of 350.org, gave credit to campaigners in the fossil fuel divestment movement who in recent years have pressured banks, universities and other entities to cut financial ties with the fossil fuel sector in an effort to help mitigate the planetary emergency. While government leaders cling to the economic models of yesterday, faith leaders are looking ahead to the energy future we share, said 350.org in a statement, noting that the G20 summit was set to begin on 21 to 22 November 2020 in Riyadh under Saudi Arabia's leadership, 2 months after G20 energy ministers released a statement rubber-stamping fossil fuel bailouts amid the coronavirus pandemic.
With renewables now growing at a faster pace than fossil fuels, the group noted, institutional investors are increasingly moving towards sustainable investments in the clean energy economy. Faith investors help lead this movement, constituting the single largest source of divestment in the world, making up one-third of all commitments. To date, nearly 400 religious institutions have committed to divest. The institutions which announced their divestment include the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, Irish Religious Order, the Sisters of Our Lady Apostles, the American Jewish World Service, and the Claretian Missionaries in Sri Lanka. Catholic, Protestant and Jewish organizations joined the coalition.
Today's announcement demonstrates that people of many faith traditions are committed to a better future in clean energy, said 350.org, noting that under Pope Francis, the Catholic Church has gone to new lengths to end its own participation in the polluting of the earth. The Pope is convening an Economy of Francisco conference beginning on 19th November, at which leaders and young climate action campaigners will discuss ways for the Church to help develop a sustainable world economy. The economic power of faiths, when turned to responsible investments and the green economy, can be a major driver of positive change and an inspiration to others as we rebuild better, said Inga Anderson, Executive Director of the UN Environment Programme and Under-Secretary General of the United Nations.
The American Jewish World Service said it had decided to divest from fossil fuels earlier this year, this is to 2020. The decision allows the organization, CEO Robert Banks said, to align fully how we invest our funds with our global grant making to combat climate change and secure climate justice for the most vulnerable people in the world, ensuring that we live our Jewish values and take up our enduring commitment to repair our broken world. And that's from the website commondreams.org. Now for a short article, this is by Benjamin Krems Master, from the inception of Share International magazine. Benjamin Krems Master provided articles that were published not only at the time they were written, but also whenever appropriate according to world circumstances. This article is from 1992 and republished in December last year, and it's titled The Plan Works Out.
It is with the greatest interest that Hierarchy watches the events now unfolding in the world. So many and so diverse are these happenings that only the practiced eye and understanding mind can make the connections and see, therefore, their underlying logic and inevitability. Without such broader vision, humanity is at best bewildered, at worst fearful and dismayed. When all seems set fair for prosperity and peace, the prospect now looks bleak. Economic hardship and growing ethnic strife add their daily quota of pain to perennial starvation and injustice. What has gone wrong, many ask. Faith and courage shaken by events. When will the new time start, as promised? This, a time of transition, is inevitably one of difficulty. All that we are witnessing results from the impact of great energies and forces which, playing upon humanity, call forth their various responses. These, unfortunately, are not uniform and homogeneous, but are conditioned by separate interests, ambitions and desires, individual and national. Hence the plethora of nationalistic movements and ethnic demands now coming to the fore.
Looked at from our viewpoint, these demands are the legitimate but distorted reaction to the energies engendering the desire for freedom which now saturate the world. Applauded when acted upon to overthrow an oppressive political regime, condemned and rightly so as the instigator of fratricide, atrocity and war. There exists the notion that as the inner government of the planet, Hierarchy is in control of all events large and small. This certainly is not the case, nor could it ever be, without the infringement of men's free will. The task of Hierarchy is to implement the plan of God through the centre which we call the race of men. This must be done while respecting at all times man's divine free will. Thus, look not for perfection in the working out of the plan from day to day or year to year. The long-term aim is assured, of that there is no doubt. Man alone dictates the vagaries of the path by which it proceeds.
Soon you will see a lessening of the tensions which today grip the world. Events are nearing a crisis which will resolve these disparate forces and allow saner viewpoints to be heard. Economic necessity is forcing even the richest nations to think more globally and more in line with group need. Soon the straits caused by greed will force a rethinking of economic theory and practice and lead the way to a fairer world. This day is not just around the corner, but not too far off. Fear not, the plan has not gone wrong. The plan indeed works out.
So we have time to read now a few questions and answers from the December issue of Share International Magazine. At every lecture Benjamin Krem gave around the world and pretty much every day of his life, he was asked numerous questions covering a vast range of topics. And so each issue of the magazine publishes a selection of these recorded resource, and none of these have been published yet in the magazine, such as the vastness of the reserve we have of questions and answers. So here is the first one, and the question is, what effect will the energies of Aquarius have on humanity? Imagine a world which has gone through the Aquarian experience, where all these individual, strongly held ideals, thoughts, plans are controlled and blended, fused together by the new energies of Aquarius. Imagine what it would be like. It will be a future in which harmony will prevail because of the synthesizing quality of the energies. That is the future for us, for humanity, if we make the right decisions.
And now we have another question, and this is, what kind of decision do you mean? And the answer was, one of the major decisions we have to make is whether to abandon nuclear weapons forever or to use them. That is the choice. For the first time in human history, we have such a powerfully destructive weapon. It is crucial that, given the choice, humanity chooses to abandon the bomb or to continue in our usual ways of life today in such a way that we continue to produce so much tension, so many schisms, that sooner or later the bomb is used. and that would mean the end of all life on our planet. So this generation has an extraordinary responsibility for the very future of humanity on Earth. On our decisions, on how we manage our lives in the next few years, depends the whole future of life on Earth. We either make the right decisions and continue to develop into the most wonderful civilization this planet has ever seen, or we destroy all life on Earth. It is to help us make the right choice that the spiritual hierarchy of masters is emerging now into the everyday world for the first time in 98,000 years.
Next question, what do you think of religion? Great teachers have always come at the beginning of every new age, have given their teachings to the world, and then apparently disappeared or withdrawn from the world. Their ideas, their teachings, would then go on to be spread over the centuries. In this way, the teaching about the spiritual hierarchy has been kept extant and given to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. There is also always a more open or public aspect to these teachings, and they are the basis of all the world's religions. Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, and so on are all the outer exoteric expression of an esoteric reality. You notice that all the wars, all the divisions were or are created by the outer form or expression of a particular faith. There had never been a war between those who follow the esoteric form or aspect of the religion. The outer religious form proceeds by demanding your belief. And, of course, everyone believes something different, and therefore you have the basis of a war. The esoteric aspect does not demand your belief. On the contrary, it demands your experience, which is a very different thing.
Another question, you referred to a divine idea in your talk. Can you explain what you mean? And the reply was, what do I mean by divine idea? Well, a quality or aspect of the divine. For example, freedom is a divine idea, an aspect of God. Justice is divine. Another question, could you describe Maitreya, please? How will I know that it's really him if I see someone on TV? Well, he will not be known on television as Maitreya. He will be introduced as an ordinary man when he appears. His voice, manner, will be quiet and reasonable, as my master put it, so that he won't frighten away the people. He's trying to help. But gradually he will become more powerful, more emphatic in his statements until we see sense. He is a man of extraordinary breadth of mind, far above the ordinary breadth of approach, far above what we mean when we think of inclusiveness. It may be that you do not like what he has to say. If you don't like what I have to say, then you won't like what he says. But he will make you think. His ideas will make you think. Everyone will have the same opportunity to respond to his ideas and to follow his thoughts. I've spoken only about his political, economic, social ideas and concerns. This is the initial focus and approach. This is the most important at the moment because we are going through a spiritual crisis which is focused upon the political, economic and environmental fields. And our problems can only be solved in these fields. And that was given forth in Amsterdam in the Netherlands in 2001.
And one last question and answer. This was originally published in June 2003. Why does America dislike the United Nations, or rather appear to dislike the UN? Very many people in the US do not dislike the United Nations. On the contrary, they see the UN as the major hope of peace and sanity. However, there are many, mostly of a conservative political persuasion, who distrust the UN, who fear its power and its capacity to act at times against what they see as America's interests. Many fundamentalist Christian groups fear the UN as a potential world government over which America would have no control. America, the United States, is a young country, powerful and overconfident, with as yet a less than sure grasp of the interdependence of all peoples and nations. Eventually, I believe, that will come, but it will take much suffering, the wilderness experience, to bring the US into touch with reality.
And thank you very much for listening. If you'd like to contact us, please go to our website, share-international.org, or email us at sharenz@yahoo.com. Thank you very much for listening to us today. It was wonderful to have you here again.